We are radio, so we love sound and the people who record and curate sounds, and we've been featuring them and what they've found. Here's an old printing press. Here's 225,000 cubic feet per second of water rushing over Niagara Falls. And then there's this. Bet you can't tell what this is. And that last sound, it's from an old oil field in Azerbaijan, and it was recorded by Peter Cusack, whose website is called Sounds from Dangerous Places. He joins us on the line from Berlin. And Peter, tell us more about that sound we just heard.
Well, it's from the oldest oil fields of the modern petroleum age, and it's next to the capital city, Baku, of Azerbaijan.
And why is it dangerous? I mean, you say the title of your website, Sounds from Dangerous Places, is not because the danger is to you, for instance, the short-term visitor, but to the people who have no option but living next to these sounds. So why is this sound dangerous?
It's a sound from a place which is one of the most polluted in the world. There are people forced to live there because they're excluded from anywhere else. It's geopolitically dangerous because the oil fields in that part of the world have been the cause of wars during their history and are still the cause of much political tension. So it would be hard to find a place where there are environmental questions which is more dangerous than that, I would think.
Let's hear a little more of the sound again from the oil fields of Azerbaijan.
The oil field is old, and a lot of the technology there is old as well, but many of the pumps are still working, and what you hear is the combined sound of all those pumps together. Each has a different squeak or hum, and that recording is when I'm walking around the oil field, so one pump gets louder and another gets quieter as I walk.
Yeah. You also went to the Chernobyl exclusion zone in Ukraine. We've seen a lot of pictures from there of, you know, deserted schools, people had to leave certain areas.
The name exclusion zone implies there's nobody there, but I immediately discovered, of course, that that was not true. There are still up to 20,000 workers who go in there every day, and some, in fact, live there to maintain the nuclear site and to continue the cleanup operation. And with that number of people around, of course, you need restaurants, bars. So there are still a lot of people there, but it's semi-militarized. You can't just walk in. You have to get permission.
Let's listen to a little of some sound that you gathered in Chernobyl.
That's a bar on a Friday night, which is a relatively empty night in Chernobyl because the workers who would otherwise be there go home outside the exclusion zone at weekends.
What's the importance of having the sound of a kind of low-key on a Friday night bar in the Chernobyl exclusion zone?
Chernobyl and most other disaster areas are extremely complicated places. And we get a very one-sided view of it. We hear about the radioactivity and the possible dangers of cancer and the fact that some of this radioactivity is spread all over the world, all of which is true. But it tells you nothing about what happens afterwards and who actually has to deal with the problems and what their lives are like.
Let's listen to a little more of your sound. We have two cuts here.
Душу село, моє рідне село, і хлібом, і цвітом, і прадідом, дідом.
Peter Cusack, what are we hearing?
Well, the footsteps are me walking around some of the abandoned buildings in Pripyat, which is still abandoned and still empty. The woman singing is one of the evacuees. Actually, that recording is 200 kilometers outside of Chernobyl, in the village where she now lives. One of the big questions for all the people that were evacuated is how much they miss their home villages. And still, after 25 years, they all wish they could go back. And that song, although it's a fairly universal folk song, it's called My Beloved Village. And when she sang it, quite a lot of the other people in her current village gathered round and started crying because it reminded them so much of their real home villages and the pain of being forcibly evacuated completely against their will.
So sounds of grief, but also sounds of ongoing life. We have two cuts here. Let's just listen.
Yeah, those were both recorded in the exclusion zone. I made those recordings to show that actually the exclusion zone is now a wildlife haven. It's full of life, full of wildlife rather than human life. And it shows that nature can come back rather quickly if humans leave. It's a somewhat encouraging thing to find.
Well, you make the case that while pictures and words arguably do more explicitly than just sound itself, sound does something powerful.
Well, for example, that dawn chorus you just heard, I can say there's a fantastic dawn chorus in Chernobyl, and in words, that's how it comes out. If you actually hear a recording for a reasonable length of time, you can hear for yourself what the variety of species is and how intense it can be. Then compare that with the one that you might hear wherever you're living and see what it tells you about the state of wildlife in the place. And then remember that that's a nuclear site. And that raises an awful lot of questions about the environment, about the effect of nuclear accidents. All of those are big questions which we need answers and fuller information about. And I think sound provides it in this case.
The power of sound. Peter Cusack, a field recordist and sound artist based in Berlin, author of the book Sounds from Dangerous Places, website as well. The book comes with two audio CDs. Peter, thanks for talking to us about it.
My pleasure.
So, out there, if you record and curate sound, let us know at hereandnow.org, because, Sasha, I love hearing these sounds.
So let's
hear a little bit more from Chernobyl, from Peter's recordings. Sasha, do you know what this is? Again, it's at Chernobyl.
Can't tell if it's animals or electronics.
Oh, you know, you're so on it, because it's both.
Really?
Give the listeners another second. Well, it's Chernobyl. So you may be guessing that that's a radiometer.
It's monitoring radioactivity.
Radiation,
at the
yeah, in the Chernobyl exclusion zone. But that behind it is a cuckoo bird.
Oh, really?
Hear it in the background?
Oh, yeah.
So it's the juxtaposition that's so striking.
Oh, yeah.
Measuring for radiation, and yet that bird has survived.
Still there, wilderness going on.
Again, let us know. Do you collect sound? We'd love to hear it. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Here and Now.